tonight I wanted to talk about, well, I called it Get Real. I want to start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to go there. And this is where Paul is talking about, you know, he went around preaching in Corinth, because it's Corinthians, and he is talking about how he never asked anybody in Corinth for money as he was ministering there. He never asked for support from that church. He got support from other churches, but he never asked the people in Corinth to support him financially. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 11, down at verse 12, picks up there. Chapter 11, verse 12, and it says, "But I will continue doing this to cut the ground out from under the feet of those who boast that their work is just like ours." So he's purposely not taking any payment from the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, down at verse 12. He says he didn't, before that he says, "I didn't take any money from you." And at verse 12 it says, "But I will continue doing this to cut the ground out from under the feet of those who boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They have fooled you by disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder his servants can also do it by pretending to be godly ministers. In the end, they will get every bit of punishment their wicked deeds deserve." And I came to that verse because I read a true story this week, and I wanted to write about it, so I'm doing a sermon on it. But it's a true story about a bunch of people at a party who ate dog food. And I'm not talking about the, you know, like Sharon when she ate a dog biscuit with her sister at the store. If you haven't heard that story, you should ask her because it's a good one. Her and her sister went to, what's the name of the place? Crimson Ridge, and ate dog biscuits for flowers. So that's a great story. But they did it on purpose. They knew what they were eating. But the people at this party had no idea. It was actually, you know, it wasn't just a club party or whatever. It was an elegant reception. I mean, it was a fancy party. It was thrown at a doctor's house down in Florida. And nobody, none of the guests knew that what they were eating was really dog food. And it wasn't the dry stuff. It was the nice, wet, canned dog food. And it was beautifully served. I mean, it looked good. It was served on delicate little crackers with a wedge of imported cheese and bacon chips and an olive and a little sliver of pimento. I mean, it was really done up nice. It was Alpo hors d'oeuvres. And it turns out that the hostess, the one who was throwing this party, had just graduated from gourmet cooking school. So she wanted to test her skills out. She wanted to see how good she was if she could pass off dog food as something really good. And so that's what she did. She went about putting this food together, and she took the ordinary dog food and doctored it up to look really nice with all the little trimmings and put it on silver trays, and people ate it all. They kept coming back for more. It's just a great story. They had no idea what they were eating, and they couldn't get enough. And I think that's funny. I mean, I think they all eventually found out, and some of them probably weren't too excited about that. But to me, it's kind of funny because I wasn't there. And I've always thought that, you know, that a lot of gourmet food anyway kind of looks gross, you know, looks kind of like dog food in some situations. And I'm guessing that most of it tastes exactly the way it looks, you know, when you see some of the gourmet food that just doesn't look all that good. And according to the test that this lady did, you know, I guess some of it does taste the way it looks because they thought it was great. And so I read this story and I thought it was a great example to talk about something else that gets switched for the real thing sometimes, and that's religion. There's a lot of fake stuff that gets passed off as religion, you know, like religious fakes. And this time I'm not talking about the average people who sit in the church and claim to be Christians, but they don't really believe in much of anything. I'm not talking about those people this time. This time I'm talking about the professionals, the people who love making a fool of other people. Like, they do it on purpose. That's their job. I don't know, has anybody ever seen the movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin? I should try to play a clip. Would you get my laptop from upstairs? I'll play a clip because there are people in real life who do that for money. They go around fooling people because they know it'll make them rich. And it doesn't matter what they have to say or do, or how many people, what they have to say or do, or how many people get hurt in the process, because they just want to serve themselves. They just want to take care of themselves and get money. And so they put on a religious show and sham people out of their cash on purpose. So those are the people I'm talking about. Because I think, you know, a person who comes up to you and robs you at gunpoint is more honest than a person who will put on a religious show to fool people out of their money. And I know, who was it? Was it Barnum, the circus guy, who said there's a sucker born every minute? And but at least you know going into the circus that it's just a show, that it's just there to entertain you and nothing's necessarily real. But when you go to church or take part in a religion, you know, your people, I think, are looking for the truth. And there are plenty of ignorant church leaders, plenty of people who don't know what they're doing, what they're talking about, and so they're trying to figure out life at the same time that they're trying to teach other people about it, and so they're just as lost as the crowd. And so while I think that's wrong, and I think those people shouldn't be in positions of leadership, their main problem is they're just lost. And they're not necessarily trying to lie to the people, but they just don't know what they're doing. And so that's a bad thing. But I think the frauds who mislead people on purpose are just like that lady who served dog food to her guests. You know, they thought they were getting something really good. And like the scripture we read says, it says that these people are false apostles, and they have fooled you by disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. They make things look good with colorful trimmings and shiny silver platters, and you know, so their message sounds good and it seems like it's making sense, but it's just a way to fool you out of your cash. And so Paul brings up the idea. He says even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Satan can do that. And so if Satan can, it's no wonder that his servants can do it by pretending to be godly ministers. So the dog food thing is kind of funny. You know, in spite of the fact that none of the guests knew what they were eating, it's still kind of funny because ultimately nobody really got hurt. They ate some dog food, and it's probably not that bad for you because it's got lots of protein and stuff like that. But but people who turn religion into a counterfeit are just evil. There's nothing funny about that. They're just completely wrong, and that, you know, I think that comes straight from Satan. And the sad thing is that people are hungry for God. You know, people understand that there's something, an empty something inside them that they're looking to get. The sad thing is people are so hungry, and I mentioned this morning, that, you know, I think a lot of people go to church because they're looking for the truth. No, you can leave it plugged in there. We can do it from back here. They're looking for the truth. They understand that there's more to life than what they've got, and they've never realized it, so they go to church looking for the truth because they've heard other people tell stories about how they've been helped.
If you want to walk tall, all you got to do is get saved.
Like
the Lord's Holy Jesus pumping through my veins. I feel a healing coming on. Before I can do any healing at all, I need to know you're on the side of the Lord. I need a sign of your faith. I'm not asking you to pay for this beautiful music, no. I'm not asking you to pay for the Word of God.
No.
What I do need is some token that you believe.
How about that ruby ring?
That you belong to the most exclusive club in the universe. A club that only God's faithful and generous enjoy. Then and only then.
Come on, give me that ring. What do you say?
No one can keep you out of the kingdom of heaven.
You tell her I'm going to kill her. You're me, baby.
Who can't
help you? They are going to pass among you. Now remember, the more you give, the more you live.
Praise the Lord, brother.
People, the Lord spoke to me tonight to remind me that He is searching for some special people. receive great rewards in money and material goods. And he wants these special people to be saved right up here on the stage with me.
It's bad out there, that's all I have to say.
Compared to the
it's burgers tonight.
Oh, Pete. The Lord is speaking to me right now.
Better be good.
Just relax. Cherry hat, section 4, row M.
Yes, sir. In the brown jacket. I feel a burden you're carrying.
Who, me?
Yes, sir. Now stand up and tell me if I'm hearing the Lord right. You're having a problem with your neighbor, am I right?
I sure am.
Building a fence going to harm your kids, right?
Yes.
Well, the Lord tells me...
Amazing.
And you make them your friend. You talk to them and serve them up your best fried chicken. Because yours is the best in the county, ain't it, ma'am?
No, it is.
Well, boy, I'd love to give me some of that. Now come on up and thank the Lord for his saving.
Section 5, row A is the glitter jeans. Number glitter jeans?
Sister. Suffering deeply. You're worried about your little girl, aren't you?
Yes, Trim.
So that kind of stuff really does happen. I mean, it's sad and it's scary and upsetting, but it goes on. And people are hungry for it. That's why it works. The people are looking for something. They're looking for healing. They're looking for restoration. They're looking for, you know, like, I mean, this is just a movie, and it's kind of funny in some parts. And Steve Martin goes to towns, and, you know, they've had a drought at this town, and he's telling them that, you know, they can pray, they'll have faith and pray for rain, and basically he's just out to get their money. But people are looking for someone to help them, and they're desperate. And some of them, they're so desperate, you know, some people are just so desperate to look like they've got something working out for them, to look like, you know, to prove that their faith is real, even though they don't feel anything, that they'll go on swallowing whatever it is, even if it tastes like dog food, even if it's not working, because they want it to work. And so I think too many people have bought into lies about religion. Too many people have bought into the lie that being rich is a sign of spirituality. Like the what is it, name it and claim it, they call it. That you just, you know, say that Cadillac is yours and it will be. And too many people have bought into cults where they give out, you know, not just their money, but themselves. They dedicate them, sometimes their own children. They say, we're giving ourselves whatever our cult leader tells us to do, that's what we're going to do. What he ever asks us to give, we're going to give it. And then, you know, some people are just lone wolves that go around looking for handouts, looking to try to fool people and you know, looking for small prey. And other people, like Steve Martin, you know, they have whole teams of people working alongside with them, and they know what's going on. They know that they've got nothing real to offer, but they go on doing it because it pays them. And then some people have massive churches. I've watched, you know, on TV, services of tens of thousands of people that are just being fooled. They're eating dog food, spiritually, dog food, and going on being fooled. And there are some, you know, even heads of worldwide organizations who claim to be prophets of God who aren't any closer to the truth than the liars that get locked away in jail for this kind of stuff. And they go on making lies look good and passing them out as the truth. And it's hard to hear and it's hard to take, but unfortunately people keep eating it up. And the problem is that they don't know the truth well enough. They don't recognize the truth. They haven't done what it takes to learn things so that they can spot a counterfeit. And that's the only way out of this kind of trap, because there's a lot of things said about God and about Jesus and about faith and about religion and a lot of things that are wrong, and to know the difference between what's true and what's false. The only way to really know that is to really know what's true, to really understand that. If you remember, Jesus said, this is John chapter 8, and you know what this is. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You've heard that before. And lots of times we talk about the obedience and obeying God and that we find the freedom, but we haven't, at least I haven't really focused on on the immediate result of obedience before. Because if you read that, the way it says Jesus says, when you obey him, then you will know the truth. That's John 8:31, if you're looking it up, or 8:32. He says, if you obey him, then you will know the truth. And obviously you can read the Bible, you know, get what God is saying for yourself. You can understand God's word. But apparently Jesus is saying for it to really sink in, for you to really recognize the truth, you have to not only read it, but you have to do what it says. And then you will know the truth. So that's kind of an interesting, I mean, it makes sense, because when you live the way God tells us to live, when you read what God's word says, and then you start doing it, and you live it out, and you experience what life is like according to what God says, because God is the truth, because what he tells us is the truth, you realize it, is it, by doing it. You know, if it was a lie, if we were in a cult, if we were practicing something that wasn't really true, and we did it, if you were smart, you'd realize nothing's happening. This isn't the truth. I'm just going through the motions. So it's a pretty common sense route to knowing for yourself what's real and what's not. When I've heard plenty of people tell me stories about how they've tried all sorts of religions. They've tried various beliefs and faith systems and practices and, you know, you name it, yoga and Buddhism. And there's a guy that we heard at the National Day of Prayer luncheon that Road Ranger put on, and there was a guy who did the closing prayer who was in the Salvation Army. He had his uniform on and everything, and he said he was a Buddhist monk for 14 years before becoming a Christian. But he found out about the truth and realized it was the truth, and he turned to God. And so I've heard lots of stories of people in situations like that who they finally put their trust in Christ, and it changed their life. And they realized that it was the truth. So since God backs up his word, you know, what he's written down, with the truth, then Jesus says, when you do it, then you find out the truth for yourself. And since life in Christ is the epitome of freedom, because Jesus says it sets you free, and since living that way is freedom, then when you know the truth naturally sets you free, because you're already living in it. You're living in it, so you know it, and you realize that you're free. And so all those things kind of go together. And I'd never really read it like that before I started preparing for this sermon. But it does make sense. If you go to Titus chapter 1, this is how Paul starts his letter off to Titus. It says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them the confidence of eternal life, which God promised them before the world began, and he cannot lie. It's interesting to know that the people who work for the Secret Service to fight counterfeiting, you know, currency counterfeiting, they learn how to spot fakes by studying the real thing. Because they've got examples of all the fakes that, you know, people have made that they could look at. But they learn to spot the fakes, not by looking at the fakes, but by looking at the real thing. Because you study and you get to know a $100 bill down to the minute details. Then when you see a fake, you recognize that it's different right off the bat. And when you know the truth better than the back of your hand, I've heard people say, I know it like the back of my hand, and, you know, I don't think I know the back of my hand all that well. But when you really know the truth down to the minute details, it's going to be really easy to recognize when somebody's telling a lie, when somebody's trying to deceive you or lead you astray, right? It makes sense. So I don't know how many times when I've been teaching Sunday school classes or whatever, so many times I've told people to check me out. What I was saying, not how I looked. I don't want to make Jenna jealous. The things that I was teaching, what I was talking about, I've always said, don't just accept what I say because it sounds good. Don't just believe what I say because I interject scripture into it or make it sound like I know what I'm talking about. I always tell people to look things up for themselves. Make sure that whoever is trying to convince you of some truth, that you check it out. That you make sure that their sources are right, that their information is correct. Jenna pointed out to me today that I got. I said North Carolina when I meant Tennessee, because the Appalachian Mountains are not in North Carolina. That's the Smoky Mountains. And so that's one thing that I had wrong. I was really in Tennessee and not North Carolina. But when you know the truth, you can spot a fake. When you know the real thing, it's really easy to spot what's not true. And that's what Paul was kind of talking about. And he says, they know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives, and the truth gives them confidence of eternal life, which God promised them before the world began. And if you skip down to chapter, well, this is actually 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you've probably heard this verse before too. Chapter 5, verse 19, it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and keep away from every kind of evil. So we're instructed, be smart about what people are telling you. Don't just buy into something because people are moving their lips. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you test what they're saying, because there are false prophets out there. There are people who will claim to know the truth. God is called the Good Shepherd. We've all heard that before, which would make us the sheep. Now, in real life, sheep are pretty stupid. I've seen sheep in real life, and they're not very smart. I've seen sheep, like, I don't know if you've heard this or seen this before, a sheep can fall over and not know how to right itself. Some of them are just that incapable of taking care of themselves. And so, you know, oftentimes it's interesting to think about God being the good shepherd and us being the sheep, and how much trouble we can get ourselves into when we're not paying attention, because people can make some pretty stupid decisions. So there's that part that's true, but God... You know, when it comes down to it, God doesn't want a bunch of empty-headed followers. He doesn't want a bunch of people that don't know how to think for themselves, that don't know how to reason and use logic and check things out and be smart. He created people in His image, He made us very intelligent, more intelligent than anything else alive, and gave us the ability to think and to reason and decide things for ourselves. And He did it because He wants people to be smart. He wants people to make good decisions about what they believe and about what they're going to obey and how they're going to act. 1 John, this is a good piece of scripture. 1 John chapter 2, down at verse 18. 1 John 2, 18 says, dear children, the last hour is here, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the end of the world has come, and these people left our churches because they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left us, it proved to us that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you know the truth. So I am writing you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between the truth and falsehood. And who is the great liar? The one who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Such people are antichrists. For they have denied the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father, and in this fellowship we enjoy the eternal life that He promised us. I have written these things to you because you need to be aware of those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need to you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you all things. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So continue in what He has taught you, and continue to live in Christ. And now, dear children, continue to live in fellowship with Christ, so that when He returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that God is always right, we also know that all who do what is right are His children. So we read that, again, the same thought, that obeying Christ's teachings brings about the knowledge of the truth. And the idea is reinforced here in John, the same thing that we saw Paul talking about before. And that he points out that we have the Holy Spirit. And obviously, if you believe in God and you follow Him, you have the Holy Spirit, and you do know. You know the truth because of that. He says, we know the truth and we need to keep the faith because we have the truth. Because there are plenty of people out there who will try to feed you a lie, try to feed you that spiritual dog food and lead you astray. And by living faithfully in the truth and knowing the difference between truth and falsehood, when judgment day comes, This is what John says. When judgment day comes along, you'll be able to stand firm and confident in God's truth. You won't have to be afraid when you see God, because you know him. You know his teachings. You know what he tells us to do. And on, you know, it's going to be a terrible day, judgment day. It's going to be dreadful for a lot of people, because they'll have to answer for lies that they've told. The charlatans, the people who are the false prophets, it's going to be a horrible day for them. You remember Paul said, the people who preach lies, he said, in the end, they will get every bit of punishment their wicked deeds deserve, because you can't fool God. He'll reward the good things that we've done, and then he'll sort out and throw away the people who just gave us dog food. He'll just get rid of them. The end of, almost the end of Revelation, it's Revelation 21, is the kind of the final chapter of what's happening on earth. It says, Revelation 21 starts off, says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down and from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will remove all their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give springs of the water of life without charge. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards who turn away from me, and unbelievers, and the corrupt, and murderers, and the immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, and idol worshippers, and of course, all liars, their doom is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. So that's a pretty heavy warning to people about leading others astray. I don't, you know, you've got to be the worst of unbelievers to be someone who will preach falsehood to serve yourself, knowing that you're preaching falsehood. Because you think about this, and it talks about doom for people who lie. And that's just scary. I couldn't imagine doing that. But obviously people do, because a lot of people are temporal and care about themselves. So I've got three pieces of advice for us, because we're out of time, that go with this idea. Because there's plenty of people out there teaching nonsense. Plenty of people out there teaching things that they know aren't true. And I said that we got to know the truth. And when we know the truth, we can spot what's not real. And Jesus says that sets you free. So there's three pieces of advice. Number one is watch what you eat. Literally, because you never know what somebody might be trying to switch things. Who knows what interesting foods you might be served at a party? So be careful and keep an eye out when you're eating real gourmet food, because my aunt, my grandmother went to my uncle's wedding in Japan, and everything was really fancy. Everything was gourmet. And they said they ate snails and other gross, like sushi and things that they ate, and it was just like they couldn't stand it. And then they left the party, these fancy parties, and they went out to the, you know, just local poor people shops and had great food. So avoid gourmet. That's just simple piece of advice. Number two, check out what people tell you. You know, whether it's me, whether it's your own mother, you know, especially people that you don't know. You know, lots of people look good and sound good and act well. But check out what people tell you. You know, not even the religious stuff. I get so many email forwards there where people have been fooled. Like, you know, send this to 8 people and you'll win $1 million sort of thing. You're never going to get anything from forwarding an email. And you can check that out on, actually, there's a lot of things you can check out on Snopes.com, urban myths and email forwards and all that stuff. So just develop a habit of being wary of what's false in all of life, and especially when it comes to religion. Read your Bible. Make it a habit to read your Bible. God says, hide the word in your heart. Because when you have it in there, when you know it, and people start telling you something that's not true or twisting verses out of context, you recognize it. You say, wait a second, that's not what it says. Let me point out what it does says. Jesus said to put what you learn into practical use. You know, it's not just supposed to be book learning and head smarts. You're supposed to be streetwise followers. So obey what God says, and by doing that, come to know the truth in application, in real-life application, and watch the truth set you free when you live that way. Don't be fooled by spiritual dog food. So that's the second piece of advice. And number three is tell other people to be wise about this stuff. There are so many people out there that are just hungry for something, so they're eating anything. And they've fallen for a lie, and they're lost in their ignorance. Let's help other people who don't know the truth. Let's be smart about it and get the truth out there for those people. They need you. If you have the truth, they need you to be a light in a dark world, because then they can see some light and they can know which direction to head to get out of the trouble that they're in. Jesus said he's the light of the world, and he commanded us over and over to live in the light, to be like him. So let's show other people the truth. Let's lead them out of darkness so that they, in turn, can do it for others. Let's spread who Jesus is and get this world lit up a little bit. I think I'll end it with this one verse. I'll just read it. It's in Isaiah 58. And it says, stop oppressing the helpless and stop making false accusations and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as day. The Lord will guide you continually, watering your life when you are dry and keeping you healthy too. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Basically, God says, when you live in the truth, when you know the truth, when you share the truth, not only are you saved, but it saves other people. It says you'll be healthy. You'll be like a well-watered garden, an ever-flowing springs. And you'll be out of the darkness, and it'll light up everything around you so other people can be out of darkness. So those are, to put it simply, know the truth, live the truth, and share the truth. Don't be fooled. Check things out. Be smart. We're supposed to be smart followers. So it's just a simple lesson, an easy thing. Let's pray. God, I know that you want us to be smart about religion. I know you want us to be smart about all of life. There's so much common sense in your word, so many things that are just practical, things that help us out in regular everyday life. This isn't all supposed to be just mysterious spiritual stuff. And I pray that you would help us to see that when we open up your word, that you would help us to understand how practical your word is, how step by step you take us through and show us the truth in practical everyday living. Help us to live that way. Help us to make wise decisions. Point out things that aren't true to us. Help us to recognize falsehoods and to not let them be spread. To condemn the lies when we hear them, and to tell other people the truth when they're lost in a lie. Point them towards you. Point them towards the light to be a light in this world. Help us to be knowledgeable, to be wise, to be wary, and to tell other people about it. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you do give us this truth, and you help us through it and teach us and help us to grow. I pray that you just be with us and give us your blessing this week. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.